Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
11 o'clock hour, coming up in 45 minutes, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and maybe another player expected to speak to the media. We'll have that live here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. We'll get a little injury update. Remember,
yeah,
heading into the Chargers game, is Trey Smith coming back? What about Juwan Taylor? Who else? I'll be curious just to see. Obviously, we already know Wanya Morris is done for the year, but still, just where they think their offensive line is headed with
Trent McDuffie supposed to be back.
McDuffie hyperextended his knee, yeah.
So we don't know about him either.
So that's another update. Yeah.
Should we have carried the Philip Rivers press conference live?
I listened to a clip during the break.
Did you?
He walked in and he said, "Wait, we don't do these on Zoom anymore because the last time he was in the league was COVID and they were just doing the Zoom press conference." But no, he got a little emotional too because he was asked, of course, the obvious question, like "Why are you doing this? You know, why are you doing this?" And he got emotional and he was saying, you know, he loves the coach. Remember the relationship he has with Shane Steichen. Like, they're very, very close. And so he got emotional talking about that. Mentioned that he's got 14 teammates that were his teammates back in 2020 as well.
I'm surprised it's that high.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't.
Are you?
I couldn't name you, obviously. I'm not a name.
Alec Pierce,
Taylor Pierce, and Pittman are the only.
I'm not sure,
right?
Alec, like, Pierce, he got drafted Quentin the same Nelson. Year as Sky Moore. So, man, not even him.
Yeah. I think Quentin Nelson was there.
So I'm not sure, but he was talking about it and he basically gave kind of the explanation that we were discussing the other day. It's like, you know, the door open. I want to find out what can happen kind of thing, you know, and
he's
see.
Describing and, it like and, it's Narnia.
And he said, look, he acknowledged that there's risk. He's like, obviously there's risk here of what can happen. Like, of course we're talking about the injury front of it. I mean, 44 years old, you know, somebody just blindsides you and you could have a very serious injury, but he's willing to take that risk. I think he's going to play. I don't know if it's this Sunday, but he's going to start for the Colts multiple games. It sure feels like.
I'd be surprised if he can get through an NFL game. He'll start multiple games. If he can physically survive an NFL game, Drew was pointing out the same thing we all know, which is the defense is getting ready to face. It's not a great lineup. A little bit of a murderer's row, if you will, of decent defenses to go against.
Seattle like the and the 49ers stuff. And what the Rams are.
Jags are the worst defense he'll face in their number 11, the Jags are in the league.
And they wrap up against the Texans, don't they?
Yeah, right? Yep, who are the number one, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm fascinated by the whole thing. Like, and I understand, like, the math will tell you the Chiefs still have a chance and you need the Colts to lose. And so I get it if you're like, hey, I hope it doesn't work. I want to see if he can actually win a game or something for the Colts. I really do. Like, and because I don't think the Chiefs will handle their business anyway.
Yeah,
so.
Morbidly curious, at yeah. least, to see how Philip Rivers plays. On the defensive line for the Chiefs, one guy we know is healthy is Chris Jones. He had an awesome game against the Texans. Didn't matter. Obviously, it was in a loss anyway. People don't typically want to hear, wow, Chris. I mean, again, he was incredible. He disrupted 50% of their plays at least. He borderline single-handedly destroyed their offense for the entire third quarter. There were other players playing well. Chris Jones disrupted anything they even had a thought of doing.
Played great in the second half in particular, right? First play out of half. I mean, shot out of a cannon. And look, I know the Texans O-line stinks, but he dominated. He did what you're supposed to, like a star player should do against an offensive line that is weak. He took over that football game when the Chiefs had, what was it, five offensive drives against them and only gave up 18 yards. He was the biggest reason why that was the case. It's why we were so frustrated with the fourth down thing. Your defense was playing so good. You were stopping the Texans. Make them drive on you. Don't give them a free field goal. Ends up being a touchdown.
I guess the question is now, because look, they need defensive line help no matter what. So I'm not saying this eliminates their need to sign a free agent, defensive end or defensive tackle, draft highly a defensive end in the top 15 or wherever they're going to pick, whatever. It's not changing those. But that game, that throwback game for a second goal gave me a little bit of juice in the like, maybe they could carry one or two more years. Because the problem is, next year he's a Chief. And my initial instinct is, just pay the man, just eat the money. As in, pay him the amount of money he's owed. Work out the contract on Mahomes and some other guys and figure out the cash that way. But the $44.5 million he's owed next year against the cap, you might want to wear that one was my stance for a while. Because if you think this Chris Jones can still show up three, four, five times a year, well, then extend him and ride this thing out for four more years and figure out a way to soften the blow on the cap end and supercharge this. But because I think they're going to end up 2 years from now needing an entire rebuild of the defensive line, I feel like you kind of have to just wear his number for a year. But there was some part about like that game where I'm like, he's still got juice. Right? We don't need to write Chris Jones off. Okay. He's had an okay year. And that game was like, whoo, turn back the clock kind of stuff.
Yeah, look, he played awesome on Sunday against, again, the Texans offensive line that is not very good. In the second half, Spags said, screw this, we're going to blitz. And that's when the Chiefs got the most pressure, is when they blitzed in conjunction with Chris Jones, of course, winning one-on-one. I think the question is the financial end of it, and it's tricky because of the extension. Next year, he's got a $44.8 million cap hit and dead cap $64.2 million. After next year, dead cap is 19.5, cap hit 38.
Okay, so that's the number of teams will sometimes eat.
I don't think they should try to extend it to push it further down the road and balance the number. I don't know what their path is. I think they kind of have to ride this out or rip the Band-Aid off and just eat the money and be done with it.
Any world in which you've talked about McDuffie,
mm-hmm.
if there were a team interested in Chris Jones, would you do it?
I would, but I don't know.
If they're eating the money, I'll tell you right now, the compensation is not going
to
excite you.
Well, it would have to be prepared that you're not getting a second round pick even back.
No, probably in that a third. Scenario. If they're like, taking the money, probably a third.
If that, Cody, I think there's a chance it's a conditional third or something because of the money aspect of it.
Yeah, the money part hurts. I still think there'd be someone.
He's 32 next year with a $44.8 million cap hit.
Because Trey Henderson is expensive, and I think they not under contract, so you don't even get a couple of years. I think there's a world in which Trey Henderson would have been good for a third this previous draft, or they made that move in Cincinnati. And so I think a third might still be out there. I
but Trey Hendrickson, at his current number, Trey Hendrickson's not making anywhere near the kind of money though.
Not $44 million.
That's what I mean.
His number was about to go up, obviously down.
And he
now
just turned 31. He's younger. Now Chris Jones historically has been a better football player, but he's a year younger than Chris
similar
Jones.
Similar age, but yes. Yeah.
Or not a full year younger. Maybe
it's a similar age one. So like that one's not as huge of a jump. Look, it's not a second, it's not a first, it's nowhere near that range. And my problem is, when you talk about trading Trent McDuffie, that's a player in a position that they've been able to refill. And maybe this is a longer Brett Veach conversation. They have not done a good job developing defensive ends. That is, honestly,
Karloftis is the one example.
Single-handedly, the single biggest flaw of Brett Veach's entire run as the Chiefs GM is defensive end. Because, look, I don't have to go through the draft picks by every single, FAU is a massive bust. Mm-hmm. Karloftis is a good NFL defensive end. And, he took him pretty high in the first. He should be a good, but like Omar Norman Lott and Gelati, no answer yet. We don't know. They took zero defensive linemen in last year's draft. That feels like an oversight. I'm dead serious. And
the year before,
2024, they took zero defensive linemen. That feels like a bit of an oversight. Year before, they took only Felix Anudike Uzama and BJ Thompson, bust. And bust BG Thompson, he's a fifth round pick. I don't really blame him. Took one defensive lineman the year before in 2022 is Karloftis, good player. and only took one the year before that in Joshua Kane. So some of this is a resource allocation. You just been banking on Chris Jones covering your ass this entire time. You took two first round picks. One stinks. One's okay.
So I don't disagree, but if we go back to the conversations around those drafts, I think everybody agreed they needed to draft a wide receiver the year they drafted Xavier Worthy. Everybody wanted them to draft a wide receiver in the first round. They were pivoting towards resources more on the offensive side of that time. This is why the left tackle problem for multiple years was a problem, because they had to continue to invest resources in tackle. Now, it looks like, assuming Josh Simmons can be available, it looks like they finally nailed that position. But for multiple years, they were spending resources on the tackle spot. Kingsley, now they've salvaged it to a certain extent. He's going to be a guard for multiple years, it looks like, for this football team, because he's had a nice year. But they had to go back-to-back years spending a fairly high pick on a tackle because it hasn't hit. And so that was a resource that, if you knew you fixed tackle 2 years ago, then maybe they would have used it in a different way. So you're right that they haven't invested as much on the defensive line through the draft, but I would just remind everybody, go back to those given years, and we all agreed, like even this year's draft, that they had to draft a left tackle. Nobody was clamoring that they had to draft a defensive lineman in the first round back in April. We all agreed they had to go get a tackle.
They're not in a dramatically different spot this year, though. It's like, their needs list is kind of long.
Sure.
You can make an argument that they still need to draft a right tackle this year.
Number one on the list, though, is defensive line. I don't know how anybody can make a case that that's not number one. There's other needs.
I can't make an argument for it. But you know how this works. It's like you're picking at pick 14, and all the defensive ends who deserve to go in that range aren't in that range. And some of the other positions of need that you need, including, not hopefully, running back, which would be insane and drive me.
This is where you stockpile picks if you can. I know it's easier said than done, but depending on how the board goes, and we'll see. We have so much time here, guys. The combine still has to take place, all this kind of stuff. But if you are picking 14th, are you at a point where do you trade back to get more picks? If you trade McDuffie, do you have an additional first round pick? What does that do? Is there a chance you end up, if you play it out in a strong way, could you have three or four picks in the top 90, Cody, next year? I mean, there's a chance you could if you play this right, with if you're willing to move on from somebody and also trade back and all that. There's a ton of options that they have. But there's no question, it's a vastly important offseason. It's the second most important offseason of Brett Veach's tenure.
People asking about trading Chris Jones, and I'll let you say some, Drews. I don't think they can afford to lose a defensive lineman like that still playing at this level. Like, just straight up, I fear what their defensive line would look like. I'm with you,
but this level that we saw on Sunday, that's happened two or three times this entire season. That's it.
But the three times is more than every other player on the entire defensive line combined.
I know.
And
the money's the money at this point, but I'm just saying,
I get it.
I do think it is interesting just when you look at the draft. It seems like the best group is just D-line as a whole. There's a lot of, if you just look at the top prospects, if you will, D-end and D-tackle there's a lot of really good ones. So I wonder if, not that they would do this, but how desperate do you think the need is? Like, do they think Omar Norman Lott, fully healthy, is going to continue to develop? Ashton Jelaidy, we haven't seen that, but given the way that they play rookies, are we not going to see the big chance for Jelaidy until next season anyways? Or do you double dip on defensive line first and second round because the need is that desperate? I think you can make an argument for that too.
The playing rookies part, and this is one thing that's a big difference, is historically, you're right, they don't play rookies a ton. That is different for highly drafted rookies.
The time like they trade first up, rounder, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, that when they traded up for Trent McDuffie, when they drafted George Karloftis, and FAU is a little bit different of a case because they knew he was a project, they put those guys on the field immediately. I'll tell you right now, if they take a defensive lineman 13th overall in the 2026 NFL draft, his ass is starting.
Of course.
Like, he's on the outside in a mini-Hughes spot tomorrow if they take a pick like that. So getting on the field, I guess I'm not overly worried about.
Yeah, and look, you're right about this past year's draft class. It's still an incomplete, and we'll see.
Oh, totally.
Omar Norman Lott, Ashton Jelaidy, they could turn. We could be. Could be sitting here next December. Like, I'm not guaranteeing it by any means, but we could be sitting here next December saying, "Wow, those two are pretty impactful guys in year two," and it could change your entire view of the trajectory of how long, if there is a reset or anything like that, has to exist. But we know you're not going to hit on every pick. Nobody expects that. No GM in football hits on every pick. But this is an offseason in which the percentage has to be fairly high. It feels like, other than the Tampa Bay Bucs Super Bowl, this feels like the second most important offseason in Brett Veach's tenure.
Ironically, it's on the defensive side of the ball. It's on the other side of the ball now instead of the offensive side.
We can get into that more tomorrow. I'm very interested in this Brett Veach tenure and what he has to do with it. It feels very can't miss. But on the college football end, our favorite, Paul Feinbaum. I believe on his business card it says
the Mouth of the South.
Mouth of the South only cares about the SEC.
Yes.
Everyone else be damned. Mm-hmm. / I got scared and didn't run for senator or whatever. Right?
Did he already say he's not running?
I don't know. Report is that he is backing out of that, yes.
Anyway.
I don't know if that's confirmed.
He was on Get Up with Greeny the other day. And he said, it's time to get rid of the Group of Five schools. Mm. He's eliminate them, add four more for the college football playoff, use conference championships in a wild card playing game. You and I have brought this up as well. I agree on the wild card-ish play-in game part of it. I do think conference title games have been kind of now pointless in the system we're in now, and I'm all about having play-in games to get in. He's not wrong there. I'm totally with him. The Group of Five thing is fascinating to me because what he is saying about where we're at with the Tulanes and James Madisons of the world getting in, and the fact that this year there are two of them, and we look and we see that Tulane's what, like a 19-point dog. James Madison's like a 21-point dog, or maybe have it flipped. But either way, massive, massive underdogs. Look, I hope they're entertaining games, but I think we all kind of know most likely they're going to be ugly. Okay, so the challenge here is then if you go with what he is saying, then we have to admit what we've kind of speculated could happen one day, that is going to be today. Like that's happening now, which is we have to separate, and you have to be willing to separate and move the Group of Five to their own championship.
Away from the NCAA.
That's the only way you do this, because you can't have them playing in the exact same pool all year and then say, well, we can't let them in the party. We would have to create a separate Group of Five playoff then.
This is the most elitist nonsense, and it is only truly an American sports thing to do this, and specifically college. Why is it that we can't? It's so elitist to just say, I'm sorry, they had an awesome season and you tried really hard and you won a bunch of games. You don't get to be included. That would just be like saying the Miami Marlins should be retracted from all of Major League Baseball. And while we're at it, let's get rid of like a whole third of it. Let's get rid of a third of Major League Baseball. Let's get our ass down to 20 teams and just be the Yankees and the Mets and the Dodgers dueling it out against each other. And we'll just get rid of the Royals and we'll get rid of the Marlins and we'll get rid of everybody. And just because your resources aren't the same or you play at a smaller school, sorry, you don't get a chance. Yes, gold. Odds are 100% they have no chance to win the national championship this year. But there's not a 0% chance James Madison could win a game or get lucky. And in college basketball, we seem to have celebrated it by letting the small schools get in.
The gap is, football resources gap is way different than basketball.
That doesn't mean they have to just be excluded. Like, sure. You know, inclusion matters in some capacity here.
We're talking about college sports. We're not talking about, we're talking about college sports. Like, I mean, it's inclusion in generally sense. Yes, inclusion is a great thing to operate in the world. We're talking about college sports. So I don't think there's not like some dead set requirement. We have to include.
Well, then
James
let's just
Madison.
Get Kansas out. They got no chance. They're eliminated.
They're in
from
the Power Four, Cody. They're not in the Group of Five as much as you wish they were. They're not. They're in the Group. They're not.
This is where it goes. Once they get rid of Group of Five, they'll get rid of all the bad college football teams until Kansas and everyone else to kick rocks.
We've talked about this that a long term, I think we are headed to two super conferences, and if you're not in it, you're not in it. That's absolutely true. Right now, we're talking about whether or not the Group of Five is part of the conversation or not.
I do think so, Cody. To your point, you know, like the way that we see it with college basketball. So there's 363 teams or whatever in college hoops. There's 68 in March Madness. There's 136 FBS schools. There's only 12 teams in the playoff. The hard part about this, in my opinion, I think is the are you trying to pick the 12 best teams or are you picking the 12 most deserving teams? And when you're dealing with people who have bias and all these other things, like if you were to pick the 12 best teams,
they got the college football playoff wrong already.
You're likely never going to get a Group of Five team in the top 12 ever again.
Also, Notre Dame's one of the 12 best teams. They didn't deserve to be in, but they're one of the 12 best teams.
I agree, which is why the whole format is odd. If you want to include JMU and Tulane in it, the format, the way that it currently is, they probably shouldn't be in, which is why I think the format should change, because of the reasonings that everybody brings up and the fact that look, they legitimately don't have they don't have a shot to win the national title. It's not going to happen, and that doesn't mean that they can't win a game, as you mentioned. But even if they do win a game, it's like a lost cause because you know that they can't win the entire thing. If there were more teams involved, then I think maybe there's an argument for, like, if you had the 24 team playoff, then I think there's a way that you can include them in there and still feel like you can get some good games, and then it has a more of a March Madness feel to it. But you have to revamp, I think, the entirety of the way we view college football to realistically include teams like James Madison or Tulane or Boise State or these other ones.
I'm not saying this year there's no chance. Those teams just aren't on par. But like, Gold, I'll use a school that you like. Boise State's in a group of five. Boise State, the year they beat Oklahoma, they couldn't have won the national championship. They couldn't have won three games against top opponents.
We all do this first.
I understand this is the one in
Like people will cite like, oh, UMBC beat Virginia. Yeah, congrats. The one in the 1,000 times it happened. Yes, it mathematically
they were never
it's
winning
not
a, the national but, title, but and the pool is bigger.
But that's Boise State could have that year. I'm not saying they would have. They beat one of the best teams in the country in an absolute thriller. But like I feel like even if it's a small chance, we shouldn't give them 0% chance just because in 1 year we're dissatisfied. If you wanted to keep it to one even for college football because it's that, and you're like, hey, Tulane and James Madison, you can't get in together. We put one Cinderella
that's
story
the
in the football. Fine. That's fine. That's fine. I'm okay with
it. But that's where he's like,
but to say it's a 0% chance ever under any circumstances is not true.
But that's where you would have the group of five. They would get an auto spot in the play-in game, not one of these buys, essentially, no, right? Like you would have them in a
buy because of whatever happened
Cody, I
could get rid of that real fast.
I agree with you, but the way that the format is currently right now, their only saving grace is that there's an automatic bid for the group of five right now. They would never, if it was the 12 best teams, they would never be in that. Where if you expanded it, that's why I think the format, I agree with you that I think including a group of five team is important to the way that college football currently is.
They're a part of college
right
athletics.
Now.
They should have
they're,
a chance.
They're absolutely a part of it, and they should be in. But I don't think they can do it.
Everything else has
now,
changed with college athletics.
With a 12-team format, I don't know if it makes it doesn't. I agree with Paul Feinbaum that it doesn't make sense for them to be in the 12-teamer. If we expanded it, and I know that people don't want to expand and all these other things, but if you expanded it to 25, if you look at almost every year, and every single season, I think, there is one group of five team, typically, that is in the top 25 at the end of the year. Yeah. That I think, if you expanded it to include all of the top 25, or at least most of
the Big Ten
wants
to go to 24. They'll do 24, not 25. They'll do 24.
But I think the group of five in that sense, with 24 teams, absolutely put a group of five team in there. Because we see, again, to use an example this year, Cody, I think part of your argument would be Duke won the ACC title this year. Tulane beat Duke this year. So why shouldn't Tulane be? If Duke is in, then Tulane should also be in. That's why I think with an expanded playoff, it makes sense for your argument of the group of five or group of six team, one of them at least, should be included. And hey, instead of conference weekend, you take two group of five teams. This year would be JMU and Tulane. You guys play against each other, and whoever wins, you get that spot in that 2014 playoff, so you can include it.
That would be
fun. It's important, but with a 12 team, the way that it is now, I think it's hard. It's hard to argue other than the fact that we see blowouts every single year. And
With the power,
Tennessee
last Ohio State
year, Tennessee
or whatever,
last
yeah,
year got
yeah,
ran yep, by Ohio State by 25
correct,
points, and it was a 9-8 game.
Sure.
I just like, I always view it the same, and this is always the issue. It's like, if we said this about college basketball, and I understand there's a talent discrepancy, but instead of the American Conference winner, we put in the 15th team in the SEC, which you hate.
Yep.
That's the better team.
Right.
The 15th team in the SEC is the better team. I just feel like
I don't think we can make the comp with that. I just don't think no, they're not actually in the American, the top school in the American absolutely is better than the 15th team in the SEC
or
in college basketball
or the ninth. Yeah. Like how many small schools would actually get in the tournament if we just did the 64 best teams, most talented teams? It'd be like 4-8. Numbers would be so small. It's just like, I don't know.
It's like a percentage thing. Like if I don't know what the percentage is of teams in the NCAA tournament that are from college basketball, but if you took that same percentage from college, from the 136, and let's say it is 24, then absolutely a group of five teams should be in there in that stance. But you would have to adopt a whole new way of scheduling games. How long is the schedule? How many games do you play? Is there conference title games? Because right now in FCS, there are no conference title games. You just go straight to the playoff. I think that it would have to rework exactly how we see the sport. But hey, we're heading in that direction now. So who's to say we can't? I do see somebody on the text line saying this, and Josh Pate has brought this up.
Yeah, we're waiting for a break. But
relegation style of things where Rutgers stinks and so does Purdue. Hey, you know what? You're out, and JMU and Tulane, they get bumped up to the top level.
Never doing it.
Probably never going to happen.
All right, coming up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour. We're going to hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Also, what Nate Taylor told us yesterday about Rashee Rice and the effort level. What does that say about a future?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Contract.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
In about 10 minutes or so, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes is going to speak to the media. Might also hear from Xavier Worthy, depending on timing as well. Because we were up against the clock a little bit before Andy speaks, we'll talk about Rashee Rice. I know I teased that. I apologize. We'll get to that in the noon hour. Want to talk about
how
what Nate...
dare you?
I know. What Nate Taylor had to say yesterday when he joined us in the 1 o'clock hour about Rice's effort and his struggles against man-to-man and the deeper conversation about a future contract for him. Also, the off-the-field stuff has to factor in to that as well. But it's probably saved for when we have a little bit more time.
What would it take for you to think the Chiefs are getting back in the playoffs? How many games do they have to win in a row? Would you get there after two? They got back to 8-7 and some of the other losses happen. Would you be bought back in?
So it's over. But to answer your question, they would have to win three in a row. We'd have to be sitting here on a Friday going into week 18 when they're about to go to Vegas, and every other scenario has already happened the way it needs to.
So, like, the Chargers had lost enough games. The Colts had lost enough
games. They would have
games.
To be going into last week, and the Chiefs would have to be a win away and a Chargers loss to the Broncos away from getting in. But you know, Dusty was giving Drew a hard time about this before the show. I don't want to go down that path from the last couple of years. We've been giving Drew a hard time for a couple of years when it's in December.
Drew, last week, and his team's out of it.
And Drew's like, well, if they do this and list 20 other things, I'm not going to do that. I'm not doing that.
I will say, in this town, not in the time I've covered it, I'm sure you remember.
It's over, guys.
Do you remember as a kid? God, we're a slightly different age, so maybe there's not. Do you remember when the Chiefs had to have like eight things
go right? Yeah, in the 49ers and Broncos game, there's a field goal that was made.
Yeah.
And the Chiefs got in.
Legit, yeah. Drew. Yeah. The Chiefs had to have like seven or eight different things happen on one NFL Sunday. And they all happened and the Chiefs made the playoffs. That feels like the only circumstance in which they make it at this point, right? Is that we're sitting here in the week 18, you don't know for sure, and it's like, well, just as long as the Colts lose and this game ends in a tie and the Chiefs win by nine exactly.
Don't do this to yourself.
No, I'm saying that feels like the only way in which they would get in there is we're sitting here on a week 18 and some insane 17 stage thing would have to take place in order to like make it all line up perfectly. I think it would take at least three wins in a row. Two wins in a row, maybe, if everybody lost each of the next two games, which I don't foresee happening. So that's definitely not going to happen. That Chargers one was like, if for some reason you were still hanging on, that was the nail, wasn't it?
Like the Eagles win or the win loss.
Even if you were like holding on to some optimism, if the Eagles win that game, you could have come in here on Monday and been like, I don't know. Come on, hear me out for a minute, you know?
Can we say what the scenario is? Sure, that's fair. So here's what it is. If you're still believing, the Chiefs, of course, have to win their Final Four.
Okay.
That's the toughest thing here. Then the Chargers would have to lose to Dallas or Houston, plus that final week lose to Denver. So Chargers lose to Dallas or Houston, plus lose to Denver. The Colts would have to lose two of their final four. So whether it's at Seattle,
Phil Rivers,
San Francisco, Jacksonville, Houston. The Colts part seems actually pretty realistic. The challenge is the Chiefs winning four in a row and the Chargers losing one of the Dallas-Houston. And week 18 are the Broncos playing for something. Are they out of the one seed picture? Are they win and get the one seed over the Patriots kind of thing? That's why if you're still a believer, you actually should hope the Buffalo Bills beat the New England Patriots because the Patriots,
other way around.
Patriots beat the Bills to keep that potential tiebreaker and play with the Broncos, even though the Broncos have the tiebreaker over the Patriots. So the Patriots know they have to be one win better if I'm understanding the scenario.
You need both teams playing the final. You want the Patriots and Broncos to both keep winning or win the exact same number of games. You need week 18 to matter.
Yeah.
Because I don't know who the backup is in Denver, but I can assure you that they're probably not winning a week 18 game if you need them to against an opponent if it's not Bo Nix starting. And so Again, all of this is the biggest pipe dream of pipe dreams. I have moved on to
For my own mental health, I have moved on instead of thinking week to week.
Out until this week. I held on as long as I could.
Yeah. If we get to week 18 and we're here doing our show that week, right around New Year's, and everything else has already happened, and the Chiefs are a win away and a Chargers loss away, then we can have a real conversation.
Since I have a history of doing this, to be the Chiefs optimist in this?
Let's hear your reasoning for how the Chiefs and why the Chiefs are going to do it. You've been doing this in Cincinnati for years, so you're prepped.
Well, Gold lined out every single reason. You know, there's still a shower. Hey, if they continue to win these games, I know the team has looked a little bit down. I know they looked beat up in the locker room, but you know what? All it takes is for them to find a way to win one game, and then if you can get confidence, you know, it continues to get pumped through the locker room. Hey, let's win another one. Then all of a sudden you find a way to beat the Denver Broncos on Christmas. Oh, Christmas is great. Everybody's happy. Hey, we just need one more. All these things are happening for us. We need one more game against the Raiders.
Someone texted in, if you still believe the Chiefs are making it, you probably still believe in Santa Claus.
Dude, there could be kids listening to this show.
On a Wednesday, Get to school. 11:40 on a Wednesday. Get to class.
That could be like four.
Get to class.
And in which case, Santa is very real, four-year-old. Listen.
In fairness, though, this is the thing. The Bengals last year, they almost did it.
Statistically.
They almost did it. So the Chiefs can almost do it if I'm rooting for the Chiefs
almost
to get there.
Almost this, almost that. Ugh.
Genuinely, the funniest part about the entire scenario that Gold laid out is, I think, everything everybody else needs to do probably happens. The crazy part is I actually think all the other things they need to happen probably will happen based on those team schedules and the way it all lines up. Probably will happen. The thing I can't believe is that the Chiefs are going to win 4 games in a row.
Why would you?
I can't count on them.
Against of all the Broncos playoff scenarios, and Chargers.
The thing I can't actually do is that one.
Yes, Tennessee and Vegas, okay, they'll win those, but against the Broncos and Chargers, they're winning both of those.
Hey, all it takes is one play that hasn't gone their way to go right.
Oh my gosh.
That's all it takes. If you want to be the optimist,
several more Philip Rivers starting for teams, you know?
Yeah, if you want to be the optimist, that's what you have to tell yourself.
Someone said the kids are homeschooling, you guys are part of the sports class they listen to. Well, that's a scary thought, isn't it? That's a really scary thought. Mm. Someone says, wait. I lived a 61-year-old lie.
Yeah. It was a sports class?
Yeah.
For homeschooling?
This person believed in Santa for 61 years.
That's they're joking, Drew.
This is the end of semester, Gold, so I always get the most desperate students this time of year. Mixed bag of desperation once we get to the end of the semester. People start checking their grades online, Drew. You start getting all kinds of emails, all kinds of excuses.
And
firing them off.
A hard stance on this, or are you lenient?
Middle, probably. Okay. I make it very clear from the beginning of the semester, my leniency fades the later you make this excuse. As in, you tell me in September you're going through some stuff, we got some leeway. You tell me just so happens to be on the final day of the final class of the semester that life got in the way. Turns out I'm not as reasonable in that moment.
Up next, as people continue to text in about their kids hearing what we said, we'll hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.